Hi, it's Amu.
And Zoe, and we're the host of the Mixed Up Files podcast.
And may the odds ever be in your favor.
Be ever in your favor.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Dun dun dun. Hi guys, we're back. It's September. October.
It is September.
Yes. No. Well, not for them.
Oh, right. Right.
Right now it is September.
Just to be viewer friendly.
Doing bad. Made it to September. But okay.
Okay.
And if you already guessed it by Amu's introduction or you read the title of the episode, we will be discussing the Hunger Games. But before that, let's just, you know, how are you, Amu? How has this month been treating you?
It's been treating me well. It's the time's flying. I'm actually surprised it's almost October. You weren't wrong, actually, about the time of year. Because this year I started at a new school, so, you know, everything felt like it was just, you know, so many new stuff. Also so many exciting stuff. But, you know, it was a lot. And I'm finally getting used to the whole concept of going to a new school. But, like, the whole reason I changed schools is because, you know, my old school is just, it was okay, but, you know, this school was so much better, and it is so much better.
Oh, that's cool.
So in the end, I'm glad I did it, and my class is great too. So it's been a great month. I'm really enjoying it. The only thing I'm not enjoying about the new school is that it's school, because I would have loved one more week of summer break, or at least one more month. But, yeah. You know, that's all we get.
Yes, I know. Oh my god. Yeah.
Okay, so Zoe, I will let you talk about your September in a second, but the most crucial question I have to ask you is, tell us the dish about your back. Everyone,
well, they don't even know it.
Episode,
yes, so we have an anniversary episode in which I hinted at something not being 100% with me. Well, it's not that big of a deal, actually. I, for some reason, have really bad back pain. All of a sudden, it started like 3 days ago. And right now, you can see me. And the reason we won't be posting pictures is because I'm lying on the ground. I'm lying on like a sofa.
Actually, we will be. You know, this is to be documented. This is to be shared with the world.
Actually, Amrita will put pictures of me up on the social media, but just to say, I would prefer.
Okay, we have to document it.
Okay. And because for some reason I have back pain, and this is the only position my back isn't hurting. It's not good. I don't know.
Hence the weird mic she's using.
Yes, because I can't set up the mic. So yeah, that is what happened. What's happening?
It's not good. And alive and excited to be here today.
Yes, I'm very excited to be here. Yeah.
That sounds so convincing.
I am. I'm genuinely excited to be here. I don't know what to say. Okay.
So, I guess, one segment we always keep forgetting. So you'll notice us doing it sometimes. Sometimes it's forgetting it to do.
Yeah.
But since I remember today, we're going to do it, is what we are reading, what we read last.
You know, yeah.
Quick reading check-in, maybe a little inspiration for you guys, or just, you know, share our reading experiences. So, I'll ask Zoe first. So, what is the book you're currently reading, or maybe just finished, if there isn't one you're
reading? A book I just finished. It's called Again But Better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recommend it. I don't know what to
say.
I don't know. It's so weird, because it's like a young adult book that's kind of, it has hints of romance in it. So it's like, should be a romance novel, but there is science fiction thrown into it like halfway through, but it's not science fiction because it's not good. I don't know. I'll I'll explain more to you in detail, but I don't really, I don't really feel the need to complain about that book right now on the podcast, because, why
and
should
so,
I?
So, to end on a good note, what was the last, five-star book you've read?
Oh,
recently?
I read Love at Times of Cholera by Gabriel Garcia Marquez. I really am hoping to pronounce the name right. I probably am not. Anyway, that's a really good book. You should read that, everyone. You should also read that.
I'm so excited to read it. And I've been wanting to read. My mom has been mentioning that so much recently. And she's also telling me to read books from him. So I will definitely.
You should. My new addiction is to read books by him. And I'm going to. Yeah, it's going to be like a slippery. I'll lend you the book when you come over and November or whatever.
Great. So,
what about you, Amo?
So, the book I'm currently reading, you actually know what it is because I told you about it.
Yeah, you did.
The third part of the series we read on the podcast, A Good Girl's Guide to Miranda.
Yeah.
The third part is As Good As
That. Yeah.
Right. And so I actually didn't intend to read it because for me, sort of the reading journey of A Good Girl's Guide to Murder ended at reading the first part, even though at that point I was sort of motivated to read the sequels, but then it never came to that. But a friend of mine lent me a bunch of books, and this was one of them. And I was like, well, since I have it here, I will give it a try. And I've been liking it a lot.
The fun fact connected
to this is that the first one I actually read in Hungarian. This is like a completely different voice in English. But I'm enjoying it. The writing style isn't quite my taste. So that's my only criticism. But the plot is super interesting. So
yes.
I'm totally hooked.
Fun fact, the third one is my favorite from the series.
Really?
Yeah, it is. Read a bit on, and then I can tell you why.
Okay.
But not on the pod, though. Last 5-star?
I'm not going to rate this anything yet because, I haven't finished.
This one?
Let me think. Last 5-star.
Just like a good book that you read. It doesn't have to be this month.
Oh, I know a very good one I read.
Okay.
Which is actually a 5-star. Because I was thinking what the title is. So it's actually a play.
Fun.
Yeah, it's so weird because one of the main reasons I changed this school because my German teacher or literature teacher was horrible at the last school. Anyways, and I loathed literature, which is just a paradox since I really like to read, but anyways. And this teacher was like, the first week, we're going to read a book. And I was super excited. And this is the book, actually, I'm talking about. It's a play.
Yes.
It's called Terror. Or, I think in English it would be, Terrorism or something. So the plot is, it's a very short book. But it raises such an interesting, morale question. It's basically, the setting is that there is a plane that gets, hijacked or, the pilots, I'm not sure if they get killed, but the control is overtaken by a terrorist and he's planning to crash the plane into a stadium full of thousands of people, and in the plane there are hundreds of people, and so there are two pilots who are sent there to fly beside the plane and try to influence the turn of events.
Okay.
And one of the pilots, even though he was instructed not to, shoots the plane. So, the plane crashes even before it hit the stadium. By that, he's
Are you
saving...
spoiling this story?
No,
because
I'm not.
I want
no,
to
no,
read
no.
it.
This is the main plot. This is, the beginning. This is the facts that start happening. And before... And so, he sort of shoots down the plane before it gets to crash into the stadium.
Okay.
Thus, saving, I think, 2,700 or something lives that are in the stadium.
Yes.
But he killed 164 people who were inside the plane, We don't know if they would have survived.
Okay.
So the whole play is basically the court process. Of him, and there are different.
People. Yes, you told about. Yeah, you told me about this.
Yes, and it's just such interesting. It's just
so
pages.
Interesting. Yeah,
it's
I think I'll read it.
You can read it in an afternoon, but I would definitely recommend. It's amazing.
Okay.
So
thank you. Good recommendation.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Should we get into the book? Do we have any other, you know, thoughts?
Well, just a quick, important notification for you guys is, actually Zoe already mentioned this, but this month we have one more episode out. A quick one, a short one. Which is an anniversary episode, and this is just your reminder if you're interested in sort of unusual content from us, definitely go check that out.
Also, you know, anniversary episode means that we've been around for a year already, so if you haven't been here from the very beginning, then you probably have some episodes. We have! sometimes last year I was surprised, and I doubted it, but here we are. And, you know, if you haven't been around from the very first day, then you probably have some episodes that you missed out on, and this is a good time to get back and, you know, listen to them. So, yeah. And if you listened to everything, thank you so much. If you didn't, also fine. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for being here.
We're not pressuring anyone to you know, listen to everything.
Yeah. Okay,
we're moving. We're back. Okay, so this month's book is
The Hunger Games.
Yes, specifically the first book. So not Catching Fire, not Mockingjay, just The Hunger Games.
Yes. If the question in your mind at this point pops up, if this is a Harry Potter sort of scenario?
No.
It isn't. There is a chance it might turn into one, but currently, no. This is just an episode.
For now, yes. We might do some more episodes on the series as a whole, the fandom as a whole. We can talk about the movies.
It depends on how excited you guys are listening to this.
And, you know, us. Okay.
Yeah. Let's start with the rating.
No, let's start with the official spoiler warning. So, this is your official spoiler warning. If you haven't read the book, please skip this episode. Go read it. It's very good. And then you can come back to listen. If you really do not care about the spoilers, you can go on. And if you feel like you just have to listen to a podcast until you can get the book and read it, you can go back. We have so many other books that we covered. And enjoy the podcast. If you're still here, that means you probably read the book or you just could care less. Okay.
Either way is fine.
Yeah, either way is fine. And let's go into the rating. Oh god, this is a hard one.
I think it's pretty obvious that we are rating with Mockingbirds, no?
Oh, okay. I
don't know. Mockingjays, I'm sorry, right?
Okay, Mockingjays, yes. Although, this is the first book. That's not that not that important in the book. I would say, literally with, arrows.
Okay. Sounds good. Or bread, you know?
Or bread. No. not talking about bread boy just now.
Okay, this is not a bread boy pod. Just, you know.
Yeah.
Trigger warning to
don't
all
bread. Hate him. I just.
Bread lovers. Or bread boy lovers.
Yes.
So, how many bow and arrows, let's say. How many bow and arrows from one being throw it out the window? This is not worth printing at this point. From 10 being a literary masterpiece that has to be kept in a museum and I don't know, whatever is the ultimate privilege as a book to you.
Yeah. You start.
Okay, since I made this beautiful metaphor.
Beautiful metaphor. It's beautiful. That wasn't a metaphor, but okay.
So, for me, and now this being only the first book.
Yes.
I will give this a solid 9. And here's why.
Same.
So, I think for it to be a good series, the first book has to be an absolute amazing piece of work. Because if you don't like the first one, it doesn't matter if the third one is genius. True. No one will get to that book if the first one isn't absolutely catchy. I'm not trying to be cheap marketing, you know, because I know literature is not about selling stuff. I don't even want it to be about that. But it is about a few tactical moves as an author that you have to plan. And I think it was definitely... Is the author Colleen? Suzanne Collins, right?
So I thought you were talking about a different author right there.
Yeah, me too. For a second, Jesus. My tongue slipped. No.
We both froze.
Suzanne Collins, I think, did that very elegantly. And it was the first book that absolutely hooked me. And it was definitely something that made me wanting to read more and to continue on this series.
Yeah, but we're talking just about the first book. Yeah. This book is so good, right. Actually.
So like, it's definitely...
I love this book so much, yes. Same. I also will give it a 9. And also, the thing is that this book really started a genre. Like, okay, I know that this was not obviously the first dystopian novel, but this was very much like, you know, when this was written, dystopian novels, like young adult dystopian novels, became like a huge hit. Everyone was writing one. And this was just really the one that started all. It had all the original ones. And I hear this a lot about the Hunger Games. It's, oh my god, it's just like Divergent. It's just like, well, you know, whatever. But the thing is that this was really the first one that got so huge and so known. I think that's such a cool thing to do. This book is brilliant. I love this book. Like, I read this book 2 years ago, I think, and I read this book occasionally still. I read it just now on a holiday, and I love this so much still. Like, just 2 days ago. It's so much fun. So, yeah.
And I know we're not talking about the series, but one question before we move on is, which book is your favorite from the series?
Oh, that's so hard for me because, honestly, I feel like I love this one so much. This has to be my favorite one, but also the one that I read with the most... This one's the best one, I think. But, like, if thinking back to my reading experience, the third one was really the one that was just, like, gluing me to the page, couldn't let go, had to know what will happen.
For me, I loved... I really enjoyed all of them. But the book that was sort of like a blind spot for me, that was like a pause. I wouldn't say it was in my interest, but it was like, I think in comparison to the other ones, a bit worse, so to say, is the second one.
Yes.
Which was...
Well, the thing with the second one...
It was an obvious continuation.
It starts very good. No, it starts very slow, honestly. Because there's like... And then they get to the arena and then it picks up. For me, I think that was the...
Yeah.
Yes.
But also, just, like, it was a very obvious, like, shot at trying a sequel, and she wasn't just right there yet. And the third one was, like, the grand finale, which everything came together.
The third one was so good. And that's such a rare thing to do, honestly, with, like, trilogies, to make the third one so good, to still stand out. But it does... Honestly, the thing with the Hunger Games is... I think one of the things that hooked me so much for the first book, too, is that... You really cannot predict what will happen, you know? Because you have a feeling that you know where this will end, but the thing is that it's so sad and, you know, sparse and nothing, there's literally nothing good in the world that you feel like you have no idea how this could possibly end in a good note. And she did it so well that I think, like, to the very end of the third book, you couldn't predict what will happen. I love this about this book. So before we get into it, I just want to give a bit of a background because this book, I read this book second year of lockdown for the first time. And this book just was, I loved it, but it was just insane to think back. I adored this book. And honestly, I read it like 10 times that first year. And I think it was very much like, and I wanted to, you know, escape the lockdown that I was in. And I would very much just wanted the book where it was just all really sad, really gory, but also you could really get into it. I don't know why, I was obsessed with the series, and I think that I would have been obsessed anyways, but like that, the fact that it was just during lockdown, it was really just something that I could hold on to, you know. And then I went over to Umwoos. I spent a week there after the lockdown, and I was just raving about this book for so much time. And honestly, the first person that got hooked was actually like Umwoos' brother. Umwoos' brother read it in 3 days, the whole series, and
yeah,
just loved it so
crazy.
Much. Yes, that was insane. And then we talked about it, and then obviously Amu read it too, and she loved it too, and that was so much fun for me, because it sounded like I had this series that at the time was, you know, my favorite thing of all time, and then Amu would read it too, and it became her favorite thing too, so we got kind of to talk about it together, so it's so much fun.
Yeah.
Lenny!
Yeah!
The podcast,
you know,
mascot!
The podcast mascot hasn't been featured much recently. So
no,
she felt,
but that's a crime.
Even though she felt like she should be represented more, you know, like,
and rightfully so. I think Lenny is by far the cutest and most interesting of all the three of us right here doing the business. So I think Lenny should have her fair spot here, and I'm glad that we're giving her that.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
anyway, also, I feel like The Hunger Games was for me just like such a, it was, you know, it was kind of like a second Harry Potter, where I felt like, you know, it was the Harry Potter, but it was just kind of for all the people. I got into it. I watched all the movies with, we watched it with my dad, and that was such a fun time. And now, you know, there's a prequel, and I bought that and read it too. Oh my God, I remember like rushing home to buy that book, because I like begged my parents to buy it, and then they bought it for me. It was so much fun. And now there will be a new movie after that too, so the cycle continues. And me and Amu plan to watch it together.
Yeah. So
we don't know how that will work out yet, but it will.
It might turn into some content, because we're making content out of it.
Yeah, we might. Yes, we might just
but
squeeze a bit
depends.
Of content out of that as we do with everything. But yeah. Not true though.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, let's get into the stuff that we liked. What did you think hooked you most about The Hunger Games? Like, what was the thing that made it so special for you?
Okay, so I don't know if it's for everyone, but for me, at the age I read it, I think it was one of the first, or the first dystopian novel I've read at that time. And so the whole concept, I'm not sure if every dystopian novel is written well. For a fact, I know they aren't all written well, but this one is exceptionally different to the others. And so what was the absolute factor that hooked me was the mere setting. The story that you were just suddenly dropped into right at the beginning. Like, this whole world was just so hooking. Every page you were reading, you wanted to know why it is all happening. Why are you here? What, like, it raises just so many questions that can't remain unanswered at some point. So
true. Yeah, I definitely read dystopian novels before, but I don't think I ever realized that they were dystopian. I read The Giver, which I think you read also before, but this one was different though. I feel like I love this one. For me, I think the thing that hooked me in the very beginning was probably the fact that the main character was so easily, like, she was just very much like, you know, at the age you read it, she was the person I was slowly becoming. Meanwhile, everyone telling me not to become, like, she was, you know, she was very okay. I'm trying. So the thing is, with this main character, this is why I really love her. I think the one of the reasons I love her so much is that she's just like not a hero. Not, you know, she doesn't want to be there. She doesn't want to be doing it. She's very much like an angsty teenager character who just doesn't care. And I think I was very relate. I related to her a lot. You know. I guess that, and I really liked, I really like the morbid, you know, like last person standing thing also. That was very hooking for me.
I mean, right at the beginning, if we just, I mean, we will shortly progress into the plot, but just talking about what's hooking, right at the beginning, I don't know in which chapter, but as the story sort of unfolds, the first major event you have is, I'm not sure how what the term is, but you know, when they pull the next tribute. I don't know if there's some Hunger Games terminology for that. I forget. But
yeah.
You know, it's just such, I to this day I remember reading that part. It's such Same. A memorable event. It leaves such a mark in your brain. And from that moment on, it's a storyline that is difficult to forget.
I know. Also, you know, for me, before, I just want to, so one of the things that really also was interesting is that whole, the reality TV aspect of it, you know, that, you know, everything would be broadcasted to the television. And this was funny because I kind of watched like reality TV a lot when I read this with my grandparents. It wasn't really reality. It was like cooking shows and then, you know, like who buys the house or if like that's sort of reality. But it captured my imagination very, very much. It was very interesting. Also, Katniss, I think I was obsessed with that character. She was probably the coolest character I ever read at that time because I didn't really... Because I've read books, you know, I read books before. That wasn't the first book I read. But, you know, I felt like she wasn't relatable, but she was what I wanted to be right then, you know? Like, I guess before that, you know, I had Hermione Granger. But after a while, you know, you didn't really want to be Hermione Granger because she was just the annoying nerd. So even though I was her, I didn't want to, so I didn't relate to her that happily. I think before Kat, and then, you know, you didn't really get girls who you know, shot at stuff, but also wanted love, but also were just really, they just wanted the best for their families, but they were also really badass and stuff like that. So.
I think what is most something, but everyone, I think, who likes Katniss looks up to, is that...
Didn't you?
I definitely did. I think what's most admirable about her is, like, this inner strength she has, because even though she does become physically very fit, but in the end the crux of it all is to have this inner strength, even if we're talking about athletics, if we're talking about if you're, you know, like mind strength, what in the end counts is your inner strength, your perseverance. And she was so powerful in that, and like an empowering female figure. Since
she
the protagonist
very much was. She was, and I get so mad when people are like, Katniss was such a pick me girl, or like she was such a not like other girls girl. That really annoyed me that like people say that about her, because sure, she had like some tendencies that were a bit like not like other girls, stuff like that. But also, we have to say that it was very much like, even at the beginning, she volunteered, and then in the beginning, she volunteered, but then she, you know, she didn't believe she could win, but then she decided she will win. And she was such like she was flawed, but in such a brilliantly written way that I was just very, I loved the way she was written. And you know, the thing is, I read a quote somewhere, someone said that kind of like made me think about, because that like, you know, no wonder that girls looked up to, like, these manic pixie girl characters, because that's all the female people who actually had something reliable, right? Like, if it's not manic pixie, then it's girl next door. No one wanted to relate to the weaker characters, so you had to go with those who were maybe just a bit too, you know, girl bossy. So that's,
So, I think that's something that's also, if we're talking about what's hooking in this book, is Katniss' presence, especially in the first book.
Yes, true. And I think, okay, so I don't know if you wanted to talk about that just yet, but the other thing that annoys me with this book is that somehow, and I don't know if this is if this was when the book first came out, or is this just the social mediaification of it all. But somehow, when we talk about The Hunger Games, we started to focus so much on the romantic relationships and everything. And personally, if you go back and read the first book, it's just very clear that Katniss was not, you know, she wasn't in love with actually neither of them. And it's very much like a point of, that's like a, it's a fake relationship, but Katniss doesn't fall for Peter. The first book at all, I would say. And, you know, the book, the last quote of the book is just basically that they hold hands for the last, like, what she thinks will be the last time as they roll into District 12. And then she says, well, I fear the time that I have to go again, and I have to, you know, let go of his hand for the last time. And I think that it's just very clear that she just had, like, a traumatic event happen with them, and they had a bond, you know,
but it wasn't romantic.
Yes, well, of course, yeah, they just got out of the Hunger Games, and, you know, they killed people and stuff, and you had to hold on to someone. I think it's very annoying for me that people are so, the people focus so much on the boy, on, like, the love triangle in Hunger Games instead of, you know,
other
the family aspect,
points.
Or, you know, the kids were killing kids aspect, and there is so much else to focus on.
Yeah. So before we move on to characters, what is something that you disliked?
This is so hard, because genuinely when I read this, I was like, this is the best thing that is on earth. But this is really hard. I don't know. Okay, you go, and I think.
Okay.
But you don't get it. This book is just so nostalgic for me, and so such like a, this book like defines, I think, 6 months of my life. So it's very hard to, you know, find flaws there. But I know that there are. It's just, yeah. You go on.
So for me, what was like, it was, I think it's well written. Just as a reader, it was a lot to take. Is like how she experiences arriving to the capital and all these eyes on her, and it's just so much coming through. It's like as if you were Katniss. For me, it's such,
I love that. That
such
was
a
my
huge,
favorite.
A huge like part of my memory of reading the book is this anxiety that it transmits. And kudos to the writer, because that's an amazing tool to use and use so well. And again, I'm just praising it, I'm sorry. But
yeah, I know.
It is something that is a negative feeling as a reader. But if you look at it objectively,
I can't fault that. That was my favorite bit to read, honestly.
If you look at it objectively, it is very,
it's brilliant. It's such a good book. Well, I guess, I don't know. There is a portrayal of alcoholism that's kind of, unrealistic. Because their mentor, Haymitch, he does drink a lot. And there is this whole thing that, like, she asks him to stop, then he stops drinking basically completely. That's unrealistic. But, again, it's just not important to the book.
I mean, you are right, but I don't think anyone pays special attention to.
No, I don't think, yeah, it's not triggering or anything. I don't know.
Maybe while we talk about characters, I think there some stuff will unfold.
Oh, for sure. Okay, but before we talk about characters, and then I have like another category for you, but then before we do characters. Okay, let's go through. We got ourselves Katniss. We talked quite a lot about her, and she has a little sister,
Primrose.
What do we know about her? Not much.
That's what I just wanted to say. Like, it's difficult to formulate an opinion on her since there's so little what we know. I mean, the only fact we know is that she gets chosen as tribute. But
yeah, well, we know a lot of her because of Katniss's, you know, she really liked animals. She was kind of like she was portrayed kind of like a sweet, you know, girly soul. I mean, not in a bad way, just like, you know, she was traditionally
yeah.
very like small and sweet, and she liked animals and she didn't like hunting stuff. I don't know. Yeah, we don't really know much about her. Okay, then we have her mother. This is very interesting. So her mother is depressed because Candace's father has died. And then, I don't know where I was at. It's just we don't know much about these characters, right?
I think her family is especially a difficult feel because our opinion is obviously a bit biased because we only know stuff about from her perspective. From
Katniss's, yes.
So it's difficult to format an objective opinion.
Yeah.
But let's touch base on more of the major characters who we do get to formulate an opinion.
But wait, before Peeta, let's go in order that they appear. We got Gale.
Right.
Okay.
I actually don't know what your opinion is, so go on.
Really? How do you not know what my opinion is on him?
I have a feeling that you might have told me and it was shocking, so I just want to see if...
Not really shocking. Oh my god.
Okay.
What am I doing? Is this French? No. But I hate Gale, like, with all my... I hate that character so much. I think I ranted about this a million times before, I'm sure, to Amuzu.
Okay, yeah, so I remembered one. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so now see.
Oh, sure, now you remember.
Okay, so this is where I disagree. Because...
Oh my god, no.
And now, since we're... Okay, since we're only talking about the first book, and not considering following novels.
Well, in the first book, he's really
in the first book.
Okay, so I'm sorry, we have to talk about him as a whole because in the first book, he literally has one scene, and then sometimes he thinks about him, but he's like, we have to talk about the whole.
Okay, so we're talking about the whole series, anyways. Yes.
generally,
my opinion does say that I do like him. I know we said we're not
muting you
too much attention on this whole love triangle that is created by the fandom. But if I had to choose, I would definitely, because see, the appeal from my side is he's an old friend. He's been always there for Katniss. Peeta just, you know, jumped out of the sky at this point, or like fell out of the sky out of nowhere. And I'm not saying he gets any extra credit for being in her life longer than Peeta, but still.
What are you saying, Amo? How? Oh, how? Who hurt you? Have you read the same book that I did? I'm sorry, Amo, but... Listen. Gale was such a manipulative... awful person who actually didn't even care about Katniss. He was just like ridiculous. He was clearly in love with her, but also he was like just think, like, at the end he gets really quickly corrupted into the, you know, the violence and the everything of the sides and
okay, but
yeah
so okay, at the end you're right, his character does turn into this radical figure, which is way overboard and everything. But I think, and okay, this is maybe romanticizing, but...
Yeah.
Without other circumstances, he nice person and a great friend to her.
No. Okay, here we differ. He was an alright friend to her, okay? I have nothing against Gale before that. But then... He got mad at her at the beginning of the second book because she was with Peeta. Now, she didn't tell him, I don't think she told him that it was fake. First of all, he had no right to be mad at his friend at this point. Like, okay, he had feelings for her, sure. But she never told him ever that she had feelings for him. As far as Gale knew, she really did have feelings for Peeta. Then he keeps kissing her, like, every day in the series. Every time, random, you know that's true. At one point, Yeah, and at one point he's like sick and he manipulates Katniss to kiss her, even though she clearly has no like romantic feelings towards him. So I think that's a very, you know, bad move. Also, third book, moment Peter's out of the scene, he like tries to like corner her basically and, you know, take her to the woods, and then she was thinking that they were having great friend time and then he kisses her. And that's like awful, especially as Katniss was actively telling everyone, get Peter, like clearly boy couldn't see the signs at all. And yeah, I hate him. I have okay. so many more reasons, but like okay. I'll let you yeah. speak.
So my defense. first of all, what I like about it, what I think is amiable, is that he basically helps her sustain her family by being her mental support throughout her whole childhood. Ooh. Wow.
Well, but then she did the same to him. Listen, I have listen.
Yes,
okay,
that's why it's an equal friendship. That's why I think it's an equal friendship.
Okay, let me go back to the point where I said I had nothing against him before the book started. So like, that's not helping, you know? Because okay, he was a good friend. I'm willing to accept that, but that's not the point I'm making, and you know it. You're just like trying to use the only time because you know that I'm right.
No, okay, so another okay. thing, when she is away in the Hunger Games, he's the one who helps her family exist, basically.
Yes, but he's awful to her. Also, Dusty.
After she arrives back. And also, okay, I get what you said about him not reading the signals, but, like, at least one of those occasions, he literally didn't have, like, I'm not defending him in this case, I'm just saying that I don't think it was meant as, like, a harassing action.
No, I don't think it was harassing. I think it was it was consensual, but it was very manipulative. Also, Katniss had told Gale before, and I think the end of the second book or something, that she doesn't want to be with him romantically. And then Gale comes pushing on and pushing on. You know, this is something I hate with the passion in books, because this just really reinforces the, you know, when a girl says no, that means she does like you. You just have to try again. I hate that. That does happen in books. And I don't like that Gale does still believe that. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, that's a fair point. Okay, let's move on to Peter.
He just, yeah. You don't have no real things again for him, do you? Almost, so you're trying to pivot because you know that I'm right. Okay, yeah.
Sure, you won.
I know. Okay, Peter.
I think this is at least one we agree on.
We agree on, but I don't have actually that strong. Okay, so I don't like Peter for Katniss, but also I don't hate Peter the character. I just don't like them together. So like, I think that Gale, I hate. Like, I think I don't like the character. I don't think he's a good person. Peter, I think, is just like a weak piece of bread, and you know, enough said. What do you think?
So I think, like, as a character, let's say just for a moment, forget that he had anything to do with Katniss or you
yeah.
know. I wouldn't like him as a character. So if
would you
say they had nothing with each other and their whole plotline wouldn't exist, I still wouldn't like him as a character. I wouldn't say, whoa, what a great character. Because, you know, he's crappy and I don't like him. Like, I don't like his personality. I don't like what he doesn't stand for. He represents not weakness, because, you know, using the word weak can also mean like physical or mental not being able to. He just doesn't want to be able to, you know?
Exactly.
He doesn't have that inner push and that inner spirit and
Peter is just nothing. Like, Peter
that Katniss has.
Yeah, Peter does not have the mental, you know, I think, and people seem like, I wasn't aware of this, but then like book talk, they like love him because he's like, you know, the perfect marshmallow character, because we love men who are written by women and have feelings, and we do. But also, you know, the Hunger Games is not the book, you know, you don't, okay, so wait, let me rephrase. Like, they love Peter because, you know, he's just so simple and he's, you know, kind and whatever, but the thing is that he's just Okay, so maybe if I'd met him in this world, in this society, I would have liked Peter because I don't know, whatever. But then back then, Candace didn't need someone to, be kind to her. She needed someone who will help her, fight or like get food or who will learn how to use resources or whatever. Peter was just never tried to do any of that at all. Even in the even before anything between them happened, they had to talk about the strength and the whatever with him. Yeah, and then Peter would be like, he'd say all the things that Candace was good at, and then he'd play himself down. And you're supposed to be like, oh my God, what a gentleman! But actually, he's just so stupid. Like, why don't you use the clear time you can to use resources and stuff? So, yeah, I think that he's just not, because you can still be, kind and very emotional and sensitive and be helpful. And he just wasn't. What do you think, Amo?
So I think so there was this whole PR act of them acting as a couple, and now correct me if I'm wrong, and I don't know when it changes or when he says this, but he is supportive of this. He's like, this is for the best.
He came up with it. So what happened is, they go in the interviews, and then Candace gives her interview, and she's like forgettable, according to him. Oh, because this is okay. This is actually something I want to talk about later, because this is a very interesting thing about like women. I think it's very rightly in this. But anyway, and then she's forgettable, and then Peter goes in. He dazzles the crowd. He's so funny. Okay, quote from the book. Peter and Caesar hit it off right away. Peter, wait, no. Okay, I'm gonna skip in a bit because there's a monologue. Peter's joking around, comparing different districts to bread. That's our Prince Charming right there.
Right there, guys.
Comparing the districts to bread. In this world, he would have been a stand-up comedian comparing the states to hair products. Now, Minnesota, that has always looked like a hair gel to me, but Ohio, well, that's more like a gel for something else, if you know what I mean. So yeah, and then Peter, so like someone asked Peter if he has like a special girl at home, and he goes, yeah, there's someone, I haven't told her, but I feel. And then Caesar, the host
The
of this
comment.
interview, yes, the in of the interview, something to the effect of, well, when you win the Hunger Games, you can go home and impress her. And he goes, but that wouldn't help me. Caesar goes, why? And then Peter goes, because she came here with me. So yeah, it was his idea and Hamish's. And at this moment, Katniss is floored. She's so mad. She did not know about this at all. And then he has to go along with it, obviously. And she plays it off. And so basically, yeah. And okay, so here I have
Basically,
so many thoughts.
even
Basically,
though
she was
this is,
forced into this, and she didn't
yeah.
like this. This is actually like a point where I get to, like, how do people forget that Peter did this? And the thing is, okay, this was a very smart move for Peter. So if Peter would be like, okay, I did this absolutely for myself, I do not care if I would have respected it if this was Peter trying to live. The fact that he did it to, like, save Katniss and be like, because this will help you get sponsors, like, Katniss didn't need you interventing there. That's very hurtful to like assume that. Candace needed this storyline that Peter gave her, and clearly it helped her. And obviously, the book is about this, so like, it did help. But also, that's hurt. That's mean to just throw her under the bus like that without any warning.
Well, it's the very interesting question that at this point enters the chat, the story, is that like she has to make decisions in a viewpoint of what will help her survive, what is absolutely a must for her to survive, and so her priorities totally change up, and even though she was forced into this situation,
yeah,
which might or might not have resulted in them winning,
yeah,
she has to make do. And that's why it was so interesting to read, but hardly any of us, or none of us, hopefully none of us, ever get into a situation where it comes this much down to survival.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's awfully interesting.
It's very interesting, yeah. I think that's such an, like, that's a bit that people forget all the time. That, you know, this love that they have between them was built up on basically a lie. Like, they, you know, okay, Peter might have been in love with her, but also she wasn't. Like, she was faking it. And the third book, you know, Peter, he gets hijacked or something, so he kind of forgets a lot. I really like that plot line, and that's why I like that they end up together, because in the third book, it's really just not build up on the lies, but they really do have to get to know each other all over again. Even though I don't like Peter, I think that's a smart move to make, because this way it's not just like they throw out on the lie. But anyway, I think what's unfair is that Peter later expected Katniss to have real feelings, you know, because he came up with this without talking to her. Like, he didn't think that she really had feelings. I think that, and then later on in the book, somehow it's expected of Katniss to really fall in love. And at the end, Peter is, like, hurt because she's not really in love with him. And I think I don't like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have anything more to say about this, Beth?
Peter, I think we summed it up.
Yes. Because I have, before we go on, I think that I have a very, like, interesting thing that the author wrote in. This was kind of like a commentary, basically, on how society views women. Is that, you know, when like Katniss gets coached with Haymitch. Haymitch, by the way, I love that character. I love him so much. side note. She has to like find a personality that will appeal to the people, and it's like she could be either sexy or ruthless, or like ditzy and stupid, or grateful. And that's such that, and that's literally what they say in the book.
And that is so frank, but so true.
Yeah. And then she could also be like funny, but that would go, or sarcastic. And then Katniss is basically none of, like, she's not like that. And then at the end, she plays it like ditzy, and she charms everyone, but then they forget her. That's such like an interesting bit in the book, isn't it? Also, the whole like stylist thing, so that they kind of made her like this very artificial.
An interesting point to raise is that even though we say this is another world, this is a dystopian novel.
Well, yeah, but
in the end, it's just
written by someone.
It's a darker version of the world we're living in,
yes.
and it makes you think so much about. And it's, I mean, it's exaggerated, obviously. But it is, in some way,
but it's
a
not
very critical portrait of the society we're living in, and of the values.
Yeah.
And so, because we were talking about criticisms, out one thing came to my mind is because I really like the way the Capitolians were portrayed, and you know how it's an exaggerated way of our society here, at least in the first world. If you know, like,
yes,
how unequal the world is,
yes,
in some way. But what I was missing is, you know, even though it's horrible and bad, and you know they're the bad guys, sort of,
yeah,
the ignorant bad guys, but they still are the bad guys. There was no second perspective on that. And that was something I was missing.
I mean, but also I don't think that. So this is in a philosophical book, though. So like, maybe, I mean, I guess I get why you didn't, because why would Katniss care about them at all?
Yeah,
but it is very much.
This is an example, but like a Capitolian who has a different view, who is one of them, but is also different.
Well, we do get those.
Just to show, like, anti-example.
Like, in the second and the third book, there are.
Right, you're right, yeah. I mean, yes, this is only concerning the first book, if we're talking about it. Just.
Oh, yes. I've absolutely. But yeah, that's interesting, I think.
Yeah.
I have like a few categories to talk with you before that, but like, do you have any character that you really like that we didn't mention yet?
I think two characters we
all of the series mention. Also. Okay. Yeah.
Two characters we should mention, because others there are a lot of characters,
yeah.
But maybe two or three other important ones. Okay. So one more important is Haymitch, obviously. I think we should mention him. And also, I think the president would be kind of important.
Yeah. Who
has the spin-off?
So he's the ultimate bad guy, but also, that's such, I love that it's that way, but also it is, like, there is no bit where he's the only bad guy, you know? Like, in the first book, he's not even portrayed as a bad, he's like one of the many bad guys. In the second book, he's the only bad guy, but in the third book, the person reading the revolution is also a bad guy because she's also very corrupt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. So, what do you want to say about Snow? I don't want to talk about the prequel because the movie's coming out and we might want to
talk about that.
It's such a good... I love the prequel, though.
I think he's a very... like, not a good character in the way as in good or bad, but he's a very interesting asset to the story in terms of being the bad guy, but not being like an obvious villain, because I'm not sure if it's in the first one, but we do get to meet him personally. Like, you get to know who he is. He's not like, I don't know, this is just like a weird, but like, you know, the big evil who no one ever meets, but everyone fears.
He's not Voldemort, right? Yeah.
Right, exactly. So he is in some way human, and he's totally like, his willingness is something.
That's why I love the prequel so much, not talking about it, but also just to add, in the prequel it is very much like, you don't love him, you don't get to like him at the end of the prequel, and you don't feel like, oh wait, he's just very misunderstood, but and I love that she didn't write it that way, because
I just wanted to mention before we move on to Haymitch, if you don't have anything else about him,
yeah,
is how they describe, and I'm again not sure if this is already in the first book, like his smell, like he always smells of roses.
Blood. Yes.
Well, so his breath is like blood, isn't it?
Yeah, because his mouth, as if he's always has blood.
As if he were eating blood.
Yes. Drinking blood. But he always has a rose.
Yes.
So it's very, yeah. It's very symbolic. Yeah, it's very symbolic.
And it transmits such a strong message. Exactly.
Like, you know how he looks. It's not like, you know, Voldemort.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, Voldemort, I'm not criticizing him because, you know, that's another story. Yeah. But he plays a more distant role. He's very two-dimensional.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. Okay, Haymitch. Haymitch is the mentor. He's such an interesting character, honestly. Haymitch is. Because he is very much like a person who lost all faith in life, and then kind of like Katniss came into it, and Peter. And he just kind of... I think he really liked them. And they kind of were like, you know, proving that life wasn't all bad, even in that society.
Yeah, I love his character growth in a way.
Yeah.
Because, you know, at the beginning, you start from this completely hopeless drunkard.
Yeah.
And it's not in this cheesy way where he's, like, inspired by them, but he truly sees...
I mean, he
sees, like, his responsibility, because at the beginning I was super mad at him. I was like, well, you know, you also feel this hopelessness that a tribute could feel, because you're in the hands of someone who couldn't care less, who knows you will be remaining there dead, and that is something positively unsettling. And And
yeah,
so
I know
how he just transforms that into something, and it's not even that cliche, oh my god, I realize I have to save you guys, and you know that action film sort of kind of
yeah,
sudden
no.
climax when he realizes
it's, like they save,
it's something
it's kind
that
of
is like
the,
progressing.
Yeah. Yes, and yeah. I really like that he sees Katniss and Peeta for who they are, which is like Peeta being very dumb, honestly, not hopeless. And like Katniss, he just like realizes she's very smart, and he starts to send her gifts the way, you know, it's like a secret message in it.
Yeah.
And I like that. It was cool. I would also say, like, Effie Trinket was also another one. She was such an interesting character because Effie is she's, like, from the capital, and she was raised to believe that, you know, Hunger Games is a good thing and we're above everyone and everything. And then she meets these people who she clearly really likes and really doesn't want to die and really doesn't understand why they have to die. And then she has to, like, grapple with the fact that they will die. And it's very interesting because she kind of likes them so much that it makes her question everything she knew. So, like, yeah. Also, Cinna, Katniss's stylist, also such an interesting character. And it's interesting because people seem to really romanticize him, I think, because Katniss loved him so much. But also, he's just very much like one of those people who think that they can help a lot, and I think they also he also like really likes Katniss, but it's very much like, but he still does work for the Hunger Games. He still does live in the capital.
You know, he is part of the system.
He is part of the system, but he does he's one of those people who recognize that the system is flawed, and he's trying to. He like tells himself that he does anything, but actually he doesn't really do much. Like, oh yeah, he did a few nice dresses.
And that really does highlight the point of, like, if you're keeping quiet, you
yes.
are just agreeing with what's happening.
Yes.
You know?
And the fact that, and at the end, he does this one thing of rebellion when he turns her wedding dress into a mockingjay. And he dies for it, but basically he did it. I think that's...
He did it.
Yeah.
But I think it's also difficult to blame just to show the counterpoint.
I'm not blaming. I'm just...
I'm not... I know, but also just to sort of imagine his perspective.
Obviously.
Being something in an environment you grew up in. It's just... It takes an awful lot of amount of critical thinking, which...
Yes.
Maybe he lagged because he was just so such a fundamental part of the system. It is difficult to break out. And
yes.
And,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
every day he discovers something new. Like, maybe up until now he didn't even know that, you know, these are just children or, you know. I mean,
I did like
what
his
do we know how romanticized it is? Yeah.
I did like this character. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, we have Rue, who is basically, she's like the symbol of everything that's wrong with the capital. I don't think we need to talk about her in like Lang, because she's a very important character, but not much to say about her, is there?
I mean, she's the one who stays in Candace's mind as like a representation of all the victims.
Yes.
Of
she
this
is a symbol
game.
Of everything. Yes. Yeah, again, she's really young. Yeah,
and also just. Like a reminder of Primrose a bit to her. Like, she does say...
Yes.
It is
she
a
does,
it is a...
yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So what was that what you wanted to do after characters?
Well, so I will tell you, like, something, and then you have to choose a scene. Okay, so, for example, I say, most heartbreaking scene, and then you tell me. And then I do spew, and then you can also ask me.
Okay.
All right, so... Most heartbreaking scene.
I mean, it's... Okay, for me, what was... I think for me, in the first book, the most heartbreaking scene is when they are on the train heading to the capital. And it's just like... You're on a train to your death. And this thought is just...
Oh, yeah.
It just... It has this quiet, dramatic effect to it. It's not like a blown-up, big climax point of the story. It just... It's just this so slow sinking feeling of doom that hits
yes.
you. And this is the first fight in the book. And I think for me, that was one of the
yeah.
most melancholic parts.
Okay.
What's it for you?
Oh, okay. So it's like, okay, I would say like either when Rue dies, and she brings her the flowers, or there is a moment from oh my God, I know. When she and Candace and Peeta are on the top of the cornucopia, and the last remaining person beside them is there, and then Katniss kills him, and it's like she kills him out of pity because they're hurting him so much, basically. And then they go down, they're waiting for the horns, and then there's the moment of realization when she realizes that
They have to kill each
they have
other.
to kill each other. That it's such a heartbreaking scene, not because they both have to, I mean, like, kill Peter, go on, but no,
Okay.
not my point. I mean, it's just like because you believed that even in this really messed up world, they wouldn't want to kill them because they're in love, right? And then you realize that it was just a marketing ploy,
Yeah.
basically. Yeah, that one.
I mean,
Okay.
that is where they show the brutality of it all, you
Yes.
know, where
Okay,
it
do you
is
have
just a mass
do you
slaughtering.
have a
Okay,
like a yes. Do you have a like a scene? I know I kind of sprung this on you, but do you have one or should I ask more?
okay, I have one. I think this is difficult because I don't think there are any, but maybe
Okay.
there is for you. Is there a scene where you would have wanted to be there
I
to
mean,
experience it?
I mean,
I mean, this is most likely before or
yeah,
after.
yes.
I wouldn't want you to be there in the Hunger Games, but
Yeah, I
like.
wouldn't want you to be there either. But no, yeah, I mean, I would like to have a meal in the capital just because they describe them so good. Like, I would like to be like part of the capital in one of the like galas they do. What about you?
I mean, does only the first book count?
Yes.
Okay. Well then, let me think.
Okay.
Well, I mean, the presence of Haymitch must be kind of
Yeah.
enjoyable,
I know.
but depends on
Okay.
the circumstance.
Yeah, it's yeah, not really put yourself into Katniss's shoe situation.
Yeah.
What's the most enjoyable scene for you to read? Like, what's the scene to read? Like, it can be like a messy one, or like a bloody. It's fine. It's just like the most fun to read.
So the most exciting was definitely the part you just described with where they then
Oh,
decide to
yeah.
take the berries, you know. That was whew, that was the climax, and that was just, you know, a very exciting one. But for me also, the part where she was just hiding and like this normalization of this crazy thing that was happening to her. But it wasn't normalized, but like, you know, when she's sleeping on the tree and they're under her, and you know, this whole feeling that you get transmitted to reading it, that was very
Yeah,
interesting to read.
it is. My favorite scene of the whole book is when they're standing on the metal, clasp, and then the countdown goes off, and then they all
Oh,
run.
God.
And that I for me that's the best scene in the book because it's just so amazingly written.
Yeah, it's just everything. Okay, I have. Do you have any more situations?
No.
Okay, I have one last one because
Okay.
I guess I can imagine this is being talked about in the fandom, but I
Oh,
don't know.
wait, don't you have like fandom questions? Don't you want to do that now? Most
Oh,
debated.
right. Yeah.
Okay.
But
Okay,
this
go
is
on.
actually one of them.
Okay, no, you can ask,
Which
it's fine.
is
Just reminding you.
Yeah, which is, do you think, or, okay, first, do you think, like, it was a good decision that Katniss jumped in for Primrose?
Yes, because the book would have been really boring if she wouldn't have.
Okay.
But also, no, ultimate, well, yeah. No, I don't know, because if she, yeah, I think it was. it was their best chance to survive as a family, you know? Primrose would have died, so.
She would have, yeah.
Yeah, why?
Okay, wait.
What's your answer? This was,
for my
what's
answer,
the question?
I think yes, because, see, what you said basically is like, she, I mean, it was a difficult decision, and like, saying that you are putting your life in instead of hers is, even though it sounds so easy, it isn't.
It's insane, yeah.
It is an insane thought, but it is extremely brave, and it says so much about who Katniss really is.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, well, here there are a lot of questions, are Team Peeta or
nah.
Team... But, you know.
Well, I mean, I'm Team Peeta out of necessity, because I hate
Whoa.
Gale. No, I'm Team Katniss, and then if... But, like, no, I physically can't say I'm Team Peeta.
The ship
debate,
God. The ship or not the ship?
Listen, no. You know, I have Gilmore Girls. That's enough of, you know, who's the best one. I can't
get
in.
Oh, did you see... I know we're getting off track, but did you see... there's this video, I don't know where, I can send it to you if I can, of, you know, the, like, there's this new series called, The Summer I Turned Pretty, obviously, crap, if you ask me, anyways, it's awfully trashy, and there's the same question.
I haven't watched it, but I won't now, I trust you.
I mean, if
you
you're looking
this.
For trash, watch it, but, you know, I just
no,
watched
I'm,
it out
I,
of,
generally,
out of entertainment,
I,
like, entertainment in the sense of just, like, yeah. Pain. Anyway,
yeah, generally, you know, I'm not looking for trash, so. Okay.
But
okay.
But there's this question about, you know, which team you are, this typical
yeah,
thing.
I heard this because my, I'm
yes.
already sick of it. I know I haven't watched it. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah. Spare yourself. And I don't know who, I think the director was hanging out with Lauren Graham when she, like, and she has a story. Which someone filmed and is real now. And it's like, she's hanging out with Lauren Graham and another woman, I don't know. And she's like, okay, which team are you? Team Conrad or Team Jeremiah? And then one woman was like, Team Conrad for sure. And like, Lauren, I'm not answering this question out of experience. I've had too much to do with teams. And I just found that so
that's,
funny. Because like,
that's,
you know,
yeah.
Cool that she also knows about this.
I mean, yeah. That's right. Okay. You know, the actors,
yeah.
it's like one of my favorite things when you like watch a video of Dean's actor and he's like, Team Jess. And then Milo Ventimiglia will be like, Team Logan. And thankfully no one says
yeah,
Team Dean. So
sweet.
Now I can still like them morally. Okay, off topic. We can do a Gilmore Girls episode if anyone's interested. We probably will because it's a fun
yeah,
thing.
We've been talking about that so long, but it would be sort of...
Yeah. You know, guys, that originally this podcast was meant to be a Gilmore Girls podcast and then we changed it. Do you remember that, Amo? The very, very
okay,
early
so,
days. Amo,
so
do you remember
here,
that?
What?
That when,
yes,
like, this
yes,
podcast was meant
yes.
to be a Gilmore Girls podcast, so we can still do that.
What do you
sometime.
Think about that, guys? What do you think about that?
Would you like? We have so many opinions on that. Okay.
Okay. So, see, I found like a list of like six unpopular opinions, and we will
okay.
because we are running out of time. But I'll
rapid
anyways.
Fire.
Rapid fire. You have to tell me true, untrue, or like true, false. Okay. These are going to be statements.
Okay.
You have to save
okay.
it.
Fun.
Okay, and like. If it's super crazy, then we can talk about it. But otherwise,
okay,
fast.
I'll try not
okay.
to.
The first movie was the best.
True.
Finnick is an overrated character.
False. Never.
Okay. Okay. I'd say true.
I love Finnick. I love Finnick because he was such a tortured person.
Okay.
He was very much okay. Anyway.
Next one is Gil doesn't deserve so much hate. Agreed.
False.
Okay.
Never.
Prim's death was pointless.
False.
Okay,
no.
Disagree.
Brilliant plot device.
Yeah.
No.
Katniss probably should have died.
False. Who wants her dead?
I'd say these are unpopular opinions.
Okay. Good for a reason.
The careers weren't so bad.
True.
Yeah, I guess.
There is so... Okay, this is such... Okay, so... No, we're not talking about. You know that the fan fiction on Wattpad. There is like such a fandom of like Kevier fan fiction, and it's like insane. Don't ask me why I know that.
I
But
don't want to
yeah,
go down that slippery slope, so please no.
don't, don't. But also.
Okay, the berries trick shouldn't have worked.
What?
The
No,
berries trick.
false. False.
I
That's
also
a good one.
disagree. Quick, why? I think because that's the whole miracle about it. There's something so small, so ridiculous, and this whole game is such a big to do. But in the end, this is what
Yes.
worked, and I think that is awfully realistic.
Yes.
Okay, Katniss shouldn't have killed Corrin.
Who's? Oh, false. I love that you did that.
I mean, I don't. Yeah. Okay, so that was our rapid fire from popular
Oh, that was
opinions.
so
If you want us
fast. Do
to.
you have some more?
We're running out of time. I'm sorry. This.
Oh, okay.
See, Zoe is representing our listeners right now. If you have
Yeah,
the same thoughts as Zoe, and if you
yes.
want to talk much, much more about unpopular opinions, if you want us to know more episodes, we could also do it like a trivia that we did with Harry
Yes.
Potter, where we find out
We
that
can
we are
also, yeah.
Snorkak experts, and similar
Oh,
fun
true.
stuff.
I forgot that for a hot minute, but that's a vital part of my personality. Thank you for reminding me.
So, if you want that kind of stuff for this series, I think we'd be more than happy to do it. We'll put a poll in below the episode if you want us to do something more in this direction or no thanks. We're open to both opinions. We're just seeing if this has potential or not.
Yeah. Hi, we're here
So,
at
what
the
you just
last
listened
segment.
to was our
Hunger Games.
Hunger Games episode. Maybe the
Breakdown,
first,
yes.
maybe the last. We'll see.
Who knows? Who knows? But
So,
definitely the
before we
first.
tell you the new book or the next book we're gonna be reading for
Yes.
next month, here's just a short overview of places where you can contact us or we can reach out.
Yes.
So first of
Okay.
all,
Rapid
we
fire.
yeah. So first of all, we have
Instagram.
an Instagram. You can
Yes,
follow
it's
us
at Mr.
at.
Fuzzbird.
Right.
Yeah.
You can get useful content about what our next episodes are gonna be about, when they're gonna be aired. So just also behind the scenes stuff that you wouldn't get just by listening to this. But of course, you
Yes.
can listen to these episodes on several other streaming platforms, including Spotify, obviously, which most of our listeners are using. But if you don't have Spotify, check it out on other places because we try to upload it to as many streaming platforms as possible. So it is available on multiple places. And if you're on Spotify or on other places, you can follow the podcast, by which you can also receive, if you press the notification bell, notifications about when we air episodes.
Yes, you should
So,
do that
voicemail.
because we are hectic. Okay, we have a voicemail which we will link. Where you basically send us a voicemail and we will hear your voice. We can play your voice in the episode if you want to. If you don't want to, just say so and we won't. Very easy, very straightforward. We'd love to hear you. Let's
And if you want to share
go.
a more lengthy opinion, the last option is
DM.
sending us an
Oh,
email or a DM.
email or a DM.
Which
Yeah.
is all of these informations, if you didn't remember them, or if you follow us on
There
Instagram,
are,
we have a link tree,
yes,
everything
all
is there.
linked. Yes.
Okay, so.
Also, if you listen on Spotify, there's this little option called rating. If you leave us a review that you
A
think is fitting, which
five-star
is
review.
hopefully, yeah, 5-star review, we'd love that. Thank you.
I
If
will
you
read
don't feel like we're
it.
not 5 stars, just don't leave a rating.
Don't bother.
Don't bother. Yeah.
Okay. So, Zoe, will you reveal to us what our next book
Yes.
is?
Dun dun dun. Our next book is called. So. Wait a minute. Before I say so, did you notice that there is a little holiday called Halloween coming up? I know
Slash
you did because we just
autumn,
talked about
fall.
it. Well, smash.
I said slash, but anyways.
Oh.
Either works.
Either works. Anyway, so this is called this our next book is called Playing the Witch Card by KG Del Antonia, and this is a fun book. I think so. We haven't read it, but we hope so. And
I think our feelings are this might be a light read. It might not. Neither of us have read it. We just went on Goodreads and we searched under Goodreads. Fall and Halloween themed books.
This was just on my for. This was on my For You, which is good. But also, I do know that, you know, Begin Again is on my For You. This was on my Goodreads For You page, which means that it probably I will like it, but also it might not, because I do read the books that I don't like, mostly for the podcast.
This will be new to all of us, so you'll get a completely really unbiased, fresh review with no nostalgic connections whatsoever, which is something new and something to be excited for. So here's also a hint that if you don't want to buy a paper or like a paperback version, you can buy just a Kindle version, or you know, get it from your sources, whatever those are.
We'll judge.
I guess this is it for this month's book review. We hope you have an amazing fall.
Yes, do have an amazing fall. Don't fall in the street. Fall in love.
And watch all of Gilmore Girls.
I have a worse one. So this podcast is made of pumpkin spice and everything that's... Oh my god, that hurt to say.
Okay, we'll leave you with that.
We'll leave you with that. Bye-bye.